Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning,
Roto Experts.
To the end zone, it's caught! Touchdown! Oh my God!
The mark of fantasy excellence.
You have to be careful about who you think is stepping forward on the depth chart.
It's caught for a touchdown!
We're here to help you win your leagues and win that cash. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the Morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Rise and shine, fantasy players. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Thursday, October 11th. Let's cock-a-doodle-do it. This is Roto Experts in the Morning, right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am your host, Dane Martinez. They call me Speeds the Spitting Statistician. And as always, I am overjoyed to be joined by my man, FSWA Hall of Famer, El Rey de Fantasia, the King, Scott Engel. Scotty, how you doing on a Thursday? Week 6 kicks off today in New York. NFC East tilt, Giants and Eagles.
Yeah, getting ready for tonight's game. Should be an interesting one. Both teams really need this win.
Yeah, absolutely. Both teams do need this win for sure, as both teams are below 500 and looking up in the division at the 500 Washington football team. Listen, we'll go into it and give our kind of like analysis and preview and pick for this game at the end of the show. But, you know, I talk about how on Wednesday, Scotty, the injuries start to come, right? The DNPs start to come, but it's still kind of maintaining and managing reps. But injuries on the Thursday night slate are important. We already know Evan Ingram will be out for the New York Giants. Still not enough time to come back from that MCL injury that he had on his knee. However, Olivier Vernon will make his debut for the New York Giants this week. Tonight, coming off the edge, trying to put pressure on Carson Wentz. On the Philly side, the biggest thing is we know Jay Ajayi is gone, so we expect a Wendell Smallwood, Corey Clement timeshare, right, Scott? Who do you think is going to be the heavier side of that timeshare?
There's a lot of people assuming that Clement is going to be the lead guy. I've even seen reports alluding to that, but I'm not so sure. You know, in week 3, when Jay Ajayi was last out, Wendell Smallwood outplayed Corey Clement. He had 10 carries for 56 yards and a touchdown and 3 catches for 35 yards. Just watching the two guys and the way they play this year, I just feel like Smallwood's the better football players who could produce better numbers right now. This is going to be an even timeshare. Smallwood's looks better with the ball in his hands. So I'm going to lean towards Smallwood while most of the industry, I think, is leaning towards Clement. So then if you're going to play in one of those one-game contests tonight in Daly, I would pivot off Clement to Smallwood.
Interesting. So we shall see. You know, on Thursday Night Football, some wacky things happen. I understand, a lot of people think it's Clement. You think it's Smallwood. Clement has been banged up himself. You know what I mean? So that's another layer into this, right, Scotty? I mean, Clement would be returning as well. And I know you talk about sometimes when a guy just comes back, you sometimes they got to, get back up to speed, shake the rust off. So that could be another argument in Smallwood's favor for tonight, at least, right?
Yeah, I alluded to that, he's just coming back to practice here. So maybe he's not 100%. We'll have to wait and see. But still, regardless if they were both healthy, again, week 3 when they were both healthy, it's a small sample size. But look, Smallwood outplayed Clement. I just think he looks better.
All right. Well, we shall see. Both of them, though, are probably viable, you know, this week, because they should get both of them should get some time. We have some buys of key running backs down there in New Orleans this week as well. Like I mentioned, you know, I said it yesterday, Scotty, a lot of these guys that are DNP are just kind of rest days, managing reps, that sort of thing. You really want to see how they trend, which direction they trend for the rest of the week. But listen, Isaiah Crowell didn't practice. He with an ankle. He may just be, you know, getting an extra rest day after his franchise record rushing day last week. You know, in Indianapolis, we know about T.Y. Hilton, still week to week. We know about Jack Doyle, still week to week. Eric Ebron did not practice with a myriad of injuries. He might just be getting, you know, kind of a rest day. Cooper Kupp and Brandon Cooks did not fully practice, did participate in walkthrough, and the important news there is that they were cleared from the concussion protocol, so if they have enough time, maybe they'll be back at it when the Rams are in Denver this week to take on what used to be called the no-fly zone. Greg Olsen is back and practicing. Remember, they were talking about a week 6 return for him, so things could be trending in that direction coming back from the foot that has caused him issues. Remember, he broke that foot last week, but the ones I really want to get into, Scott, because, you know, in essence, what I want to do is give the people at, you know, Inside Injuries their just due. Okay, so here are two things that I saw injury related that obviously we have been talking about, and obviously you should be listening to Dr. A and Inside Injuries, not even Jay Ajayi, who Dr. A literally said is going to get hurt again. Two things I saw, Scott. One is that guess who has a brand new injury this week? Mr. Devontae Freeman. He sat out of practice, right? But they're saying it's because of a foot injury. This is a new injury, not the hamstring or the knee or the head or the shoulder or anything like that. Dr. A talked about all these compensatory injuries that are possible when you have this kind of history, and that is Devontae Freeman right now. I mean, a lot of people have been asking me about trades with Devontae Freeman, and in response, I say the same thing. I don't know that he will be around during the fantasy playoffs. And this is another, you know, kind of evidence that adds to my concern. What did you think about this? You saw this Devontae Freeman new injury. It's the foot now, too.
Yeah, it is. You know, this was something that this is something new here. And this guy's getting very banged up. I didn't draft him in a single league because, you know, one of the inside injuries was saying during the preseason. And, you know, this guy, you know, he's had some really good years, but, you know, he's not a big running back. I think he's like 5'9", 205. I could be wrong, but he was within that range.
Right.
And he's played so physical, you know, for a good stretch of years. And I think things are really starting to take their toll on him. I think we could be at the end of the fantasy line here with Devonta Freeman.
Okay, so what does that mean for Tevin Coleman? Does that mean Tevin Coleman is all of a sudden a high-end RB2 or something like that?
No. Because you
know, so what does it mean?
We've already seen Tevin Coleman get the opportunity and not run with it in high scoring games. So he's definitely not an RB2. You know, maybe he's a flex. You know, okay. I would pick up Ito Smith if he's available, because Ito Smith was getting used more at the goal line and he's running with more spark and juice in his game. I would not be surprised if this is a timeshare, like, because that's what the Falcons want to keep. And I would not be surprised if Ito Smith outproduces Tevin Coleman more consistently.
Interesting. Let me spin this forward, Scott, a little bit. You know, and this is less of a fantasy question, but one of the things we've also said, this is an Atlanta Falcons question, Scott, because one of the things the Atlanta Falcons did, I guess about a year or two ago, is they extended Devontae Freeman, right? They gave him a contract. They gave him something like a 5-year deal, and he was at one point the highest paid running back in the NFL, right? Le'Veon Bell is looking to eclipse that and stuff like that, but he's got a big contract from the Atlanta Falcons, and now we're saying, oh, it could be the end of the fantasy line at least, and you know, they've got to be concerned about his long-term viability and his long-term health with that monster contract. The other thing, though, Scott, is that Tevin Coleman is a free agent at the end of the year, right? So if you're the Atlanta Falcons, what do you do? Like, do you cut Devontae Freeman and that big contract? Do you go try to, you know, offer Tevin Coleman something that's competitive in the market because you know he can be something viable? What do you do at your running back position? Because this guy that you just, you know, you signed to, I think it was something like a 5-year, $90 million deal, something like, it was a big deal he got. Now that could be an albatross around your neck, and a guy that's like your kind of backup is going to be a free agent and I believe is going to get offers in the offseason to get paid like a starting running back. So what do you do if you're the Falcons here?
Look, again, we've seen it the last few weeks. Tevin Coleman has had an opportunity both for himself and the Falcons to step up, and it was a golden opportunity because he's heading into free agency, and he hasn't done anything with it. He's getting outplayed by the rookie. So you know, the Falcons could just decide to let Coleman walk and let maybe somebody else make a mistake and try to make him into feature back, because throughout his career, Tevin Coleman has played better when he's shared carries. You know, when we've seen him become a feature back, it's been disappointing, at least this year, and it's not good. With Devonta Freeman, look, I don't know the particulars of his contract, but I think you know this team might have to go into the market for another running back, maybe keep Ito Smith and draft another running back. We can only speculate. We have to see how the rest of the season plays out before we can speculate on it. Because what if all of a sudden Tevin Coleman starts turning it around? So it's really too early to speculate.
Yeah, that's fair enough. You know, I mean, I'm trying to play magician here, Stratomatic, whatever it is. But, you know, what could be interesting? Listen, if Atlanta is used to spending big money on that running back position, I know a big money running back who might be available in the offseason and who may be looking for a contending team with a solid quarterback position. That could be interesting, Mr. Le'Veon Bell in the dirty, dirty. But I digress. The other injury news that we heard yesterday that our guy Dr. A was all over, and we have been saying it preaching it for weeks, Scotty. There's now, it looks like the rest of the world is coming to the realization. There's reports out there that Leonard Fournette may sit out now until week 10. I mean, we were on this. We were telling people weeks ago that we wanted no part of Leonard Fournette. When you hear week 10, Scotty, I mean, that's after Le'Veon Bell is going to be back and up to speed. That's after we're talking about guys like Dante Foreman being back and running. Week 10 is a long time from now. If you had Leonard Fournette, you need him over the next month to make sure you are positioned for a fantasy playoff run. So tell me, what does this mean for TJ Yeldon owners? What does this mean if you are stuck with Fournette?
Well, look, yeah, Inside Injuries last week was saying on Roto Experts and on this show that they expected him to miss 4+ weeks. And that's exactly what we were talking about. Once again, Inside Injuries ahead of the game here. They were saying that it could be a lost season for Fournette owners. So TJ Yeldon, you know, RB2 the rest of you, maybe extensively the rest of the way. Actually, RB1 the rest of the way because he's versatile. He's going to get a ton of volume. And Jamaal Charles is really not going to cut into his carries
right
at all.
Okay, so there it is. Interesting. TJ Yeldon, I remember yesterday we talked about it in your kind of in-season ranks. I believe you had TJ Yeldon as running back 9. Scott, you definitely had him as an RB1, okay? So this news only reinforces that as Big Leonard looks like is going to be out for a while. More running back news, okay? I think this is interesting. I have been saying, like, you know, the trade deadline is coming up, but trades in the NFL are not common, but Sean McDermott up in Buffalo kind of was talking to the media yesterday and unsolicitedly, to be quite honest, kind of mentioned the rumors about LeSean McCoy getting traded potentially to Philly. Okay, there's been a lot of rumors out there about that, and he gave voice to it, you know, and he didn't necessarily dismiss it. In essence, just said, like, listen, we get calls about players all the time. That's all I'll say. And he was like, you know, and LeSean is one of our best players, and we're looking ahead to the, I think it's the Houston Texans they play this week, or whoever it is this week, you know, kind of like an on to Cincinnati kind of comment. But he did kind of, like, you know, validate it a little bit. I don't think this is going to happen. Okay, I don't think, like, there were rumors about Lev Bell going to Philly, Shady McCoy going to Philly. I think Philly, to be honest, is comfortable with Smallwood, Clement, and Sproles. But does this add fuel to the fire of these trade rumors, Scott?
Yeah, obviously. I mean, it's more of a media concoction than anything. And, you know, like they said, they may be getting phone calls on it. But, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to trade it. You know, every time we've already seen, like, Le'Veon Bell going to Philly, you know, when Jay going down. These are media concoctions a lot of the time.
Yep, I hear you. Now, one thing that I don't think is a media concoction, Scott, and I was starting to mention this earlier this week. I was trying to be ahead of it because there's so many people asking me on social media, like, what do I do about James Conner? What do I do about Le'Veon Bell? You know, and my theory, I've mentioned it to you before, is that, listen, James Conner's not going to completely go away, and this is still going to be, you know, people loved Le'Veon Bell as a top three pick because he was one of those, you know, elite workhorses, right? He would get a huge workload at the top of the first round. You take those guys like Zeke Elliott, like David Johnson, because you think they have an uninterrupted workload. And I was saying, even when Lev Bell comes back, I don't think that's going to be the case because James Conner has proved himself. Big Ben said the same thing himself yesterday to reporters. He said, and I quote, Conner should not go on the shelf, that he has confidence in James Conner, that James Conner has proven he could do some things. I think it's more evidence to my kind of hypothesis before, Scotty, that even when Bell comes back, he's not going to be this heavy workload RB1. I mean, you know his skill set is there. He's an amazing back. He may be a more of a back-end RB1 because James Conner is going to get some touches still. I don't know if you would call it a full-on timeshare, but it's not going to be an exclusive workload for Lev Bell. And Big Ben is saying it himself. And I got to tell you the truth, Scotty. In Pittsburgh, what Big Ben wants, usually Big Ben gets.
Yeah, and Ed Bouchette of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, the longtime Steelers beat writer, was polling the locker room the day before, and just about all of the teammates said the same thing that Ben Roethlisberger did, but it didn't become a bigger story until Roethlisberger said it. You know, I was actually talking about this yesterday, and the Steelers feel that, you know, now we have two really good running backs. This really challenges defenses. Fantasy players don't want to hear it, but this is going to become a timeshare, it seems, once Le'Veon Bell is fully back up to speed. And for a lot of reasons here, you know, Bell is worried about his health, and the Steelers want to look towards the future as well. You know, let's not we don't have to hand this guy a starting job if he's going to hold out, and then we got this other guy playing well, and it also gives us a strategic advantage.
No, absolutely. I agree with you. So let me ask you this, Scotty. You know, we're about in week six right now, right? So let's say when we're in about a month, when we're week 9 and 10, right? And I believe that that's exactly what's going to happen. I was telling people, right? Do you think James Conner is still what? Like an RB2, a flex play? Because, you know, I see it as this, Scott. I think Lev Bell is going to wind up being a back-end RB1, and James Conner will be a back-end RB2 when they're both together. What do you think? It'll be similar to, like, in years past. Remember 2 years ago, Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman were both startable? Remember last year, Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara are both startable? Right now, we think Sony Michel and James White are startable. Will Le'Veon Bell and James Conner both be startable?
They'll both be startable, but it's going to drive you crazy. I don't think we can say that either one is going to be anything more than an RB2. They could both be RB2s, or in 1 week, you know, Conner could have a much bigger game than Bell. It's going to be very unpredictable, but you can't bench those guys. With the state of running back now, I would say both those guys are going to be RB2s.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very interesting. At least, like, in New England, you know, Sony Michel is, like, one kind of back and has one kind of role, and then James White has a different kind of role. In Pittsburgh, both of these guys can kind of do it all, but it'll be very, very interesting moving forward. When we come back, Scotty, we are off and running on Roto Experts in the morning. When we come back, we're going to dig into our guy Brandon Murchison's Week 6 ranks. We'll see what we agree with, what we disagree with, and if any of these guys are fugazi, come on back, Dane and Scott, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only place to go for 24/7 fantasy sports advice. Once you download the FNTSY Sports Radio app, you'll get the most accurate experts and most entertaining programming in the fantasy sports world. Listen to great shows like Fantasy Football Frenzy.
There you go right there, Goon Squad.
Game Time Decisions.
Good teams win, great teams cover.
Fantasy Freestyle.
You know what it is.
And plenty more.
Boom!
Download the FNTSY Sports Radio app on your iPhone and Android devices now and take the best fantasy sports talk wherever life leads you.
Hey, but if it wasn't for the Bronx, this rap-ish probably never would be going on. So tell me where you from. Yeah, all right, it's Roto Experts in the Morning. Right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Dane Martinez and the King, Scott Engel. We put the fun in functional sports radio Monday through Friday, 7 to 8 a.m., getting you ready for everything in the fantasy world. Listen, we are so focused on football because football is king in the fall. But listen, the Major League Baseball playoffs continue, and the NBA kicks off or tips off next week. So I got to tell you about the DailyRoto.com NBA lineup optimizer. It is now available. That means you can use the same tools and projections that Daily Roto and NFL premium subscribers are using to win each week. We've told you about Colin Drew raking in the dough, but you could use those tools for NBA DFS contest as well. We told you about premium subscribers winning hundreds of dollars each night, winning millions seven times over. We told you about Colin Drew. Okay, so if you're playing daily fantasy sports and you're not using the Daily Roto tools, projections, and optimizers, you're just flat doing it wrong, and you are now at a competitive disadvantage. So go to DailyRoto.com, click on the Go Premium tab, enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount, and start winning today. That is DailyRoto.com. Click on Go Premium and enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount. Scotty, here's the thing. You are, you know, you're the king over at Roto Experts, obviously. And with the Roto Experts exclusive edge in-season fantasy package, you can enter the promo code THEKING at checkout. You know, we get your ranks. We get the fantasy executives blog post. We get all sorts of other great content. And one of the things we also get is the rankings from our guy, Brandon Murchison. Brandon Murchison does great work here, okay? He's known as the Roto Superstar, right? He finished in fourth place on Fantasy Pros 1 week earlier this year. So his rankings are definitely legit. I want to go into those, see who he may be a little bit higher on or lower on, and see how we feel about that, if we agree that these people might be diamonds in the rough this week or fugazis. Guys, you need to forget about. Let's look at the quarterbacks real quick, Scotty. One guy that he is lower on than the rest of the industry, I want to get your take on it because, you know, I don't necessarily agree per se, is Killer Cam. Cam Newton at Washington this week. I don't see Washington as a kind of a defense that scares me, but Brandon has Cam Newton all the way down at QB 11, a lot lower than the rest of the industry who has the, you know, the average consensus ranks him as QB 6. Why do you think Brandon is lower on Cam than the rest of the industry?
Possibly because, you know, the Washington defense was playing very well going into last week. But, you know, Cam's a threat, you know, so much with his legs. You know, that's why he's got to be top 6 or 7 every week to me. You know, yeah. My ranks are going to be out later this morning. I have, you know, the quarterback's already done. I have Cam at number 6.
Okay, so talk to me then about this game. The Carolina Panthers are in Washington. Scotty, the Washington football team is a one-point favorite in this game, so in essence, it is a pick 'em. Who do you like in this game? You know how much I've been talking about the home dogs and the home teams, how hard it is to go on the road and win in the NFL. You think Carolina can do so going on the road to Washington? Remember, Washington is in first place in the NFC East. Yeah, I guess they won't still, be, though, by...
They're five they won't be team, by. So...
Yeah, you know, I know. I wonder if Philly wins tonight, they'll be 3-3, and Washington will be 2-2. So I guess no matter what happens, they still will be in first place come Sunday. What do you think happens, though? You think Carolina can go in there and get a win?
Yeah, I think they're just a better team, period. You know, yeah. No matter what field you put them on.
All right, so we like Carolina on that one. Listen, Scotty, I want to just reiterate for the people, Brandon Murchison also has this guy a couple of spots higher than the consensus. You know, there's not many people, you know, like he's got Cam five spots lower. Other than that, it's a lot of like one or two spots higher. But for people who have not heard me this week say, the guy I want to talk about and I want to get you to hopefully validate it once again, I am all over this Tampa Bay passing game this week, Scotty. I'm telling you right now, my DFS, I'm stacking it up left and right. I'm talking Jameis Winston at Atlanta. I have been talking about how I want to be against Atlanta. They've lost both safeties. They've lost their coverage linebacker. I've been telling everybody how much I love Cameron Brate this week. I've been telling everybody how much I think Mike Evans resumes being a number one wide receiver this week. I think Jameis Winston's going to throw the ball 50 times. Murchison has him as QB5 this week.
I think that's a little too high.
Really?
I do. For all the reasons, look, you know, I like the matchup, but quarterback is so deep, and we've seen Jameis Winston disappoint before. So it's kind of scary to me to like rank him top 12 because, you know, then you look at you look at some of the other quarterbacks. You know, my quarterback rank's already finished, so I could tell you something about him. I have him 13, not because I don't like him this week, and I love him as a daily play. But
okay.
when I look at the fact that this is going to be his first start back, and what the erratic history he's had, I can't rank him above certain guys. Like I have Deshaun Watson at number 12. I have him down though because Buffalo has a good defense. He's got a chest injury, but I can't bench Deshaun Watson for Jameis Winston. I can't bench him for Phillip Rivers. I can't bench him for Andrew Luck, and not even Andy Dalton, who has a terrific matchup against the Steelers.
Yeah,
I can't bench him for Cam Newton. I can't bench him for Ben Roethlisberger, Jared Goff, or Kirk Cousins, or Matt Ryan. So as much as I like him, the quarterback position is so deep that relatively he falls to number 13.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. All right, Scotty, because I'm going over right now. I hear you, okay? But it sounds like the point you're kind of making, though, is that it's not that you don't like Winston. It's just that you think there are a lot of good matchups this week, right? So in those ranks, I understand that. What if I told you, though, if I go over on FanDuel, Scotty, right? And I'm looking at the prices, right, for this week. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And what if I told you that Jameis Winston is the 11th most expensive quarterback this week on FanDuel? So it's different. I understand your ranks, right? But what if I say you think he does have a good matchup and he's the 11th most expensive quarterback at only $7,400, where are these other quarterbacks you're talking about, the Rivers, the Ryans, the Bens, the Cams, are well over $8,000. If you can get Jameis for $1,000 cheaper, are you okay with that over on DFS?
Like I already said, I love him in daily. He's going to be so widely owned that you're going to have to look, you know, for alternative or a pivot because it's just going to be ridiculous. Yeah. There's going to be so many Tampa Bay stacks. But just look, everybody's ranking it just basically on the matchup. And I'm trying to think, you know, with all due respect to Brandon and everybody else, and they can be right, with Jameis Winston's history, it's almost like Andy Dalton a little bit, where the first start back, and Jameis Winston is just not a trustworthy quarterback. The matchup looks golden, but it's still Jameis Winston, and he can still be erratic. I can't start him based just purely on the matchup. When I know that, you know, there are probably about a dozen or at least 10 other quarterbacks that are more reliable no matter what the matchup is. There is no way that I'm benching Kirk Cousins or Jared Goff, especially with Jared Goff. Like we were talking about yesterday, it's that Denver pass defense ranks 18th. It's all reputation. There is no way I'm benching Jameis Winston for Jared Goff. I mean, Jameis Winston over Jared Goff.
That makes sense.
And look, people want to start him. It's not crazy, but it's not something that I can recommend as a top 10 start.
Now I hear you. In DFS, it may be a little bit different because the budget and the money is involved.
Obviously.
Absolutely. The one thing I will say, though, Scott, is because I've been touting Jameis as well, okay? And so you say it's all because of the matchup. The one thing that I don't think is because of the matchup, Scott, is the fact that the Tampa Bay defense themselves is something that's consistent regardless of the matchup. The Tampa Bay defense can't stop a nosebleed right now, right? And so I think regardless of the matchup, the Tampa Bay offense is going to be in position where they're going to be throwing the ball and to try to keep up. They're going to be in shootouts. And the other thing, it's, you know, the Tampa Bay defense is to blame for this and the lack of Tampa Bay's running game. Those are the two factors that have nothing to do with their matchup against Atlanta this week that makes me like Jameis Winston. Their defense will force them into shootouts, and there's no run game to speak of. So that's why I like Jameis Winston. I agree with you. He is erratic, but I like any quarterback.
Everything you're saying points to why people like him, and I can't disagree with it. The one thing for me is that what is the difference, really, between Blake Bortles and Jameis Winston. And when you talk about guys like that, they can have everything pointing to their success, but we can't predict execution. We can't trust Jameis Winston. He could have a cake matchup with everything pointing towards it for him. And Jameis Winston's the type of guy who can lay an egg in this situation. So that's why I got to go with safer plays. Everything else okay. You and everybody else is saying is right. It's just, for seasonal, not DFS, for seasonal, okay. I can't start them over more established guys that I feel I have more trust in.
Okay, that's fair. When you ask what's the difference between Winston and Blake Bortles, the one thing I will say is that Jacksonville has a run game and Tampa Bay does not. That to me is right. A difference, you know.
No, I'm talking about them as quarterbacks.
Okay, as no, that's cool. That's yeah. Cool. Well, but in fantasy, I'm looking for these guys that I think are going to put the ball up 50 times a game. And I think Jameis is one of them. I think Andrew Luck is one of them because of their lack of a run game. I think Deshaun Watson is one of them because of their lack of a run game as well.
Okay,
but let's move over to tight end.
Let me ask you this then.
Yes.
C.J. Beathard might start putting it up 50 times a game too.
Nah, chill.
He's got a lot of attempts.
Let's slow down, Scotty. Let's slow down. I want no
part. It's legitimate.
Sure. Someone else can go ahead.
Look at
and
the
do
numbers.
That.
Look at the numbers. The guy's throwing for 300 passing yards and at least two touchdowns every week.
Here's the thing.
The numbers
Scott,
are there.
And to the point that we make all the time, what's good for the real team is not always good for the fantasy team, right? And what's good for the fantasy team is not always good for the real team. But those are the kinds of conditions where you can get a volume quarterback. So I think it's fair, Scott, that we're not just giving people a fish. We're not saying, hey, we like this guy this week. We're teaching them how to fish. And so for that, Scotty, you raise a good point, right? The indicators yeah. of, bad pass defense or no run game and then being able to put it up or something you look for, and you could take it to the extreme with C.J. Beathard, so I understand that, Scotty. Let's keep it moving, though. Let's move to the tight end position, because people need tight end help. Tight end is such a wasteland. Scotty, Brandon Murchison has Jared Cook as his number three tight end overall this week against Seattle. He has him above Rob Gronkowski against Kansas City, above Jimmy Graham and George Kittle on Monday Night Football, above Eric Ebron, who has looked good and still doesn't look like Jack Doyle will be there. Is that a little too far with Jared Cook? Remember, they got the long flight over to London this week.
Yeah, so do the Seahawks. So,
I know,
it's equal.
So do the Seahawks linebackers, sure.
Yeah, well, their safeties, Bradley McDougal's sure. a pretty good strong safety, but, he kind of roams. Look, I like Cook a lot this week. That big physical fast target is going to give Earl Thomas secondary a lot of problems. To rank him over Gronk, though, that's something I could just never do. Gronk's
yeah, I think
going
that's a little
Kansas
bit...
City.
Yeah, exactly. I go back over to DFS, Scotty, and what's interesting is we all love this Patriots-Chiefs matchup, but because it's on Sunday Night Football, it is not on the main DFS slate. And so check this out, Scotty. What if I told you, and this looks crazy to me, a lot of, we got bye weeks this week, right? We got, some injuries going on. We have two of the top tight ends are on Sunday Night Football, right? Kelce and Gronk. On this slate, there will also be no Zach Ertz because he plays tonight, right? On Monday Night Football, you lose Kittle. You lose Graham. So this week, you lose most of the top tight ends, Scott. It's really interesting, right? No Gronk, no Kelce, no Ertz, no Graham, no Kittle. There's a lot of tight ends that are out. Scotty, what if I told you that the most expensive tight end in the entire league this week, at least over on FanDuel, is Eric Ebron at $6,500, and Jared Cook is the second most expensive tight end at $6,400, okay? It goes Ebron, Cook, Jordan Reed at $62, Kyle Rudolph at $62, and then Greg Olsen, who we don't even know is going to come back or not. He's the fifth most expensive tight end at $5,900. So I ask you, Scott, because of that in the weird week with all the stud tight ends being on, Thursday or Sunday or Monday night, do you try to go shopping at the bargain basement here? Or are you like, wait, I can still get one of the top five tight ends for only $5,800? I'll do that. Are you going to like go scrubs here at tight end and punt it? Or do you spend the money for one of the top tight ends even because it's only, $6,000?
I think what you got to do is, of course, using the Daily Roto lineup optimizer, they're going to point out some top, some matchups that they like. So Look, O.J. Howard was able to practice yesterday, and if he's able to come back, you know, O.J. Howard and Austin Hooper in that shootout are two guys, you know, that you really got to that you have to consider. And Daily Roto on the Associated Press yesterday, this is all over nationally, they're talking about how you should pivot off of Eric Ebron to Cameron Brate.
Right. So here's my thing, though. You talked about Cameron. You just talked, though, Scotty, about O.J. Howard practicing, right?
Yeah.
So if O.J. Howard is somehow, you know, kind of a quick healer and gets back out of it, doesn't that compromise some of the Brate value?
Yeah, well, obviously that was written before Brate practiced.
Sure.
But whatever Tampa Bay tight end is going to be the lead guy is somebody you want to consider.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
I also want to tell people.
Remember, Howard's coming back from an injury, and even if he's there, Winston has shown such a radar for Brate in the red zone, you still might want to use him. What'll happen is that'll throw a lot more ownership off of Brate, so it may make you want to make him as the pivot even more.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that. Fair enough. Let me ask you this, though. Something I just noticed, because I want to stay on this Tampa Bay passing game for a second. I'm looking at this long-term dynasty league that I'm in, Scotty, and over this week, earlier on in the week, I told you about it offline, I acquired Mike Evans, right, because I'm all in on this narrative that the passing game in Tampa is going to, you know, be volume-based, if nothing else. I believe Mike Evans, you know, is underrated skill-wise as one of the top size-speed-hands combos in the NFL. Okay, I think he toils in an underrated kind of way. I looked in the scoring system right now, Scott, and he, at least in the scoring system I have, which is PPR and stuff like that, he is wide receiver 16 right now. But then I look, and he's down at wide receiver 16. All the wide receivers above him have played 5 games. He's only played 4. So if you look at it really in terms of points per game, he's inside the top 10 or the top 12 so far, you know? If you look at it just points-wise, is where he's down at like wide receiver 16 or 17. How do you start to look at that, Scott, when the byes are in play and, you know, some teams have played, you know, 7 games, whereas others have played 8 when you look at your kind of rankings? Because it's not comparing apples to apples. You know what I mean, Scott? If I look at Mike Evans, he looks like he's down as a wide receiver too, but if you look at points per game, he's definitively a back-end wide receiver 1.
You just said it, points per game.
Okay.
And
okay,
you also have to take a look at the game logs, and I look more at recent performances like the last 3 weeks or so rather than the overall points.
Yeah, and I also know that Jameis Winston loves himself some Mike Evans. When we come back, we look at Brandon's ranks for running backs and wide receivers, and we give you our picks and previews for tonight's Thursday Night Football. Coming right back.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Welcome back. Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dane Martinez and the King, Scott Engel. We open up the phone lines if you want to join the fun as we put the fun in functional sports radio. The number to call is 844-843-6879. We'll take a couple calls if they come on in a little bit later on in this segment to see how we can get you ready, get you primed to get a W here. Eat a W like Jameis Winston used to say. What I also want to tell people, Scott, is if they enjoy playing DFS but they're sick of dealing with professionals using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, try the Props Builder tool over at mybookie.ag. Forget the multiple lineups. Ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches. Avoid experts winning 90% of the money. Invest in the players you want without salary caps. And if you sign up for a new account, use the promo code FNTSY. You can get a 50% deposit bonus. That's right. Go on over. Start winning today. It's mybookie.ag. Use the promo code FNTSY. Scotty, let's look at the wide receiver position here. Who does Brandon like a lot Listen, he has faith that these Rams wide receivers are going to get cleared and be there at Denver this week. He has Cooper Kupp in as wide receiver 18. He has Brandon Cooks as wide receiver 23. He has Robert Woods. Let's find it. He has Robert Woods as wide receiver 14. So he has all three of them playing just fine. They did kind of clear the protocol and be in walkthrough. Are we expecting all three of these wide receivers from the herd to be there on Sunday?
Well, of course, we know Woods will. You know, there's no injury there. And Kupp is less of a concern than Cooks, but I don't think we can think, you know, that they're going to 100% play just yet. It's pointing in the right direction, but it was just a walkthrough. The guys are saying they feel better, but everybody's body heals at a different pace, you know, especially when it comes to a concussion. I don't think we can assume anything just yet. So when I do my wide receiver ranks this morning, I'm going to be a little bit conservative on it, especially with Brandon Cooks. I have guys like Chester Rogers and Kiki Kuti queued up just in case, and I still think you need to do that. You know, don't start cutting your backup wide receivers because you assume that Cooper Kupp's going to play, because we don't know for sure yet if he is.
Okay, Brandon Murchison is pretty much aligned with the consensus on a lot of those other wide receivers. So I want to hop over to running back with the time that we have left here on Roto Experts in the Morning, right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Remember, the number to call if you want to get down with the get down is 844-843-6879.
Down.
That's right, Scotty. One guy that Brandon's a little down on this week. I understand why, but I just don't know how far you can go, is Zeke Elliott. He is Zeke Elliott all the way down at number 10 this week. I understand the matchup of Jacksonville is a very big problem, and I understand that, you know, the cat scratch fever, the Jackson 5 secondary should definitely be able to contain these uninspiring Cowboys wide receivers, but you know, do you think they're going to completely stuff Zeke as well? He has him 5 spots lower than the consensus. Albeit in season long, you understand if you have Zeke Elliott, you're starting Zeke Elliott. But are you down on him this week as well, Scott?
No, I'm not. You know, with all due respect to Brandon, who finished number four in Fantasy Pros in week 2, he knows what he's talking about.
Yep.
Zeke Elliott's number 3 for me at running back this week. Again, you know, just because a guy is, to me, just because a guy is facing a tough matchup doesn't mean he's not going to produce. You can't assume by default in a tough matchup that the defense is always going to win. Kareem Hunt got in the end zone. And to me, Ezekiel Elliott reminds me of Adrian Peterson in a way that you could put the 8 in the box against him and he's still going to get his. He catches passes. I don't care who Ezekiel Elliott faces. I don't care if he faces the steel curtain, if they come out of a time machine. He is still, to me, a top 3 running back locked in every week, regardless of matchups. Fantasy superstars are fantasy superstars because they do it against all levels of opposition.
You know, I think you may have been onto something here, Scotty. I think we can make a new game. You know, like in Madden, they have, like, you know, the history mode and all that stuff. I think we should make kind of a combination of fantasy with, like, Stratomatic and stuff like that. I would love to see Zeke Elliott up against, like, the 85 Bears and see what happens. I see that we have the call, but I want
to
ask you one question.
They used to have the historical teams in Madden.
I think they have it in Madden
anymore.
But I'd like to see it in fantasy, you know, in some way.
Yeah.
That would be awesome, right? I would love to see.
Teams in NBA 2K. I love it.
Yeah. That would be cool. I do see we have a call, but I want to ask you about one more thing in the running back ranks real quick. You know, listen, we've been talking about this Pats-Chiefs game and how we think it's going to be a shootout. The total, I think, has moved up to 59.5. But I believe that because this is going to be a kind of shootout back-and-forth passing game, I believe that this is kind of a James White game for New England, right? I think this is, listen, we talked about how both of them are startable, but I think this may be more of a James White game throwing the ball than, say, Sony Michel running the ball. The industry, the consensus ranks, has James White as RB7 and Sony Michel as RB10. So both of them definitely startable. Both of them RB1s. Brandon has it flip-flopped. He has Sony Michel as his RB6 this week and James White as his RB11. Which way do you lean? Because, you know, in this matchup against Kansas City, a lot of points should be scored. I understand you start them both, but who do you have higher this week? James White or my guy, the stereotype, Sony Michel?
I have Sony Michel at number 7 and James White is number 12. Sony Michel is playing like a top 10 fantasy running back right now, and I think the running game is going to be key for New England because they're game plan specific. And if they feel that they can run on somebody and slow the game down, I've seen them do it in the past. You know, look, remember when Jonas Gray made the cover of Sports Illustrated against the Colts?
Yep.
Because they just slowed it down and ran the ball down their throat. They can do that with Sony Michel. I believe that, you know, that they want to control time of possession, and they can do it with the rookie. Now, he was limited in practice with a knee injury, but he's fine from all reports. Do keep an eye on it. I will say that. But, you know, if Sony Michel's good to go, you know, this guy could be a big part of the offense. And in daily, while a lot of people are taking White, I might take Michel because you could get two touchdowns out of him this week.
All right, fair enough. Let's go to the phones right now. We got a caller. It's Paulie T in Eastchester. You're here on Roto Experts in the Morning with Dana and Scott. Hey, Paulie, how can we get you a W for week 6?
Hey, yo, Paulie, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
What's going on, Paulie?
So I'm in a 12-man half-point PPR, little soft in the flex position. I'm going to rattle off some names. I was hoping you could give me your opinion on one of them.
Fair enough.
So for the flex position, Alfred Morris, Hines, Valdes-Scantling, Alfred Blue, and a questionable Cobb.
Well, you said it's half-point PPR?
Yeah.
Half-point PPR, yeah.
I think you got to play wait and see here because we haven't heard anything, any reports yesterday about the Green Bay wide receivers. If Allison and Cobb are both out again, I think you have to go with Valdes-Scantling. If not, use Nyheim Hines because you'd be pretty busy out of the backfield against the Jets.
Yeah, I was going to go Nyheim Hines with this one as well. I mean, Nyheim Hines has carved out his role. We don't know who the other side of the timeshare is. You know, Marlon Mack, does he come back? Jordan Wilkins hasn't been able to do it. But Nyheim Hines has carved out a role as the PPR guy and also pretty much the lead back. So I like Nyheim Hines against the Jets. Scott, what do you think, though, about Alfred Morris? I mean, if there's no Matt Breida, this guy is a pretty much, like, he has the role to himself. He's going to get 15 to 20 touches.
Yeah, I kind of like Morris. You know, he's run hard. I'm going to have him as number 34 in my running back rankings here, though. But if the situation is the same as last week, you know, for the Packers wide receivers, I got to go with Valdes-Scantling unquestionably.
Yeah, fair enough. I agree with that. So, Paulie, that's what we're saying. You got to check the health reports. But the problem, Scotty, is he may not know that until Monday, and he may have to make this decision before that on Sunday. So what I'm going to say, though, Scotty, and I want to get your advice or to kind of double down on this, because that's the thing, right? Valdes-Scantling is up to Cobb and Allison, and he may not have that full information by the time he needs to make a decision at noon on Sunday. So because of that, I think my answer is Nyheim Hines, Scott.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna kind of meet you in the middle there of what you're saying. I think by Friday or Saturday, you know, because of the Monday game, by Saturday, if both those pack of wide receivers are not practicing, I'm gonna go with Valdes-Scantling. If they're not practicing by Saturday, I won't expect them to play.
No, I hear you. I'm just saying that is somewhat of
it's a consideration,
risk, you know,
but
because,
I think we'll have a lot
more
information.
You have to consider it.
A lot more information by tomorrow, by Saturday, and you can make a more informed decision by then.
All right, fair enough. Scotty, one more running back I want to ask you about in Brandon's ranks before we go on over to Thursday Night Football is Beast Mode, Marshawn Lynch. He has him all the way down as running back 21. I would have him higher than that, okay? I think that's the only dependable part of this offense right now, the Oakland offense right now, and I know the touchdowns are something you could depend on, and they're going all the way over to London in that game against Seattle. I think they may just hand it to Beast Mode a lot. Brandon has him as running back 21. I would have him in the mid-teens where the industry has him as 15. What do you say on Beast Mode?
I have him even higher. I got him at number 10.
That's what I
said. I'd like to push him up the board even more. Look, Seattle's run defense has been hit and miss this year. Marshawn Lynch revenge game against the Seahawks where there's definite emotion there. You know, I expect him to get in the end zone more than any other running back this week. There is no way, you know, when they're on the 1 yard line, they are throwing it this week like they did last week. Marshawn Lynch could be 100 yards and 2 touchdowns this week. Adrenaline, the Seahawks defense still missing KJ Wright. Bobby Wagner's a terrific run defender, and Bradley McDougal flies all over the place, but they can't do it by themselves. I love Marshawn Lynch this week.
Interesting. You're not concerned that he was a limited practice? He had a limited practice with a hip yesterday? You're not worried about
not
the...
Not at all.
Okay, fair enough. Let me ask you this. Marshawn Lynch in FanDuel right now is 6,500. Chris Carson on the other side of that game is 6,400. You'd rather have Lynch in your lineups?
Yes. I have Carson top 15 this week, though. I think he could have a really good game against the Raiders. You know, that defense is easily, you know, what they but, you know, I like both of these guys this week.
Okay. So that's that. There you go. You like those running backs in that game over in London. All right, Scotty, week six kicks off tonight in New York where the New York Giants host the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles come in a little bit banged up. No Jay Ajayi. The Giants come in a little bit banged up. No Evan Engram. The total of this game is 44. The Giants are home dogs. Now listen, Scotty, you know how I've been talking about the home dog narrative all season long. You know I've been mentioning that on Thursday Night Football so far, the home is 5-0 so far. So we have those narratives at play. We all kind of believe that the Philadelphia Eagles are a better team. Now, Scott, as we go all the way back, though, you picked the Giants to win this division. Me and Mike, we had the Eagles to win this division. I mean, they're all within a game and a half at this point, right? All like kind of 500 or below. First of all, let me ask you about the total. The total stands at 44. So we're talking about like that's what, a 24-20 kind of game. You think we see something more than a 24-20 kind of game? Or does it become a little bit of a defensive struggle tonight?
Nah, I'm taking the over here. You know, both teams need a win, and both defenses, you know, can be had. So I'm definitely taking the over here. You know, Jalen Mills, you know, new middle name is Toast, and, you know,
right.
You can certainly throw against the Giants for sure, you know, outside of Janoris Jenkins. So this is going to be a high-scoring game.
All right, let's tell the people who are outside of the New York area, Scott, because you and I are here. We see the back post, we see the back page of these newspapers all the time, right? And here's a point that I want to make. On Monday of this week, all of the talk, you know, the back pages was all like Odell complaining, is Eli holding him back, Sterling Shepard throwing a tantrum with the garbage can and stuff. The funny part is, on the flip side, the other side of town, the Jets actually won a game. Isaiah Crowell ran for 200-plus yards. But the narrative here in this city is about, you know, the walls closing in, the Giants going off the rails, and the disarray in New York. With that context, I mean, the Giants, this is kind of like last stop for the Giants, right? I mean, they either, you know, buck up, get this win, or their season could completely unravel at 1-5.
Yeah, I mean, lose and they're done. It's that simple. You know, it was an interesting story in the local news yesterday, one station, about, you know, just the state of New York sports. You know, the Red Sox are done. I mean, the Yankees are done.
Well,
flipping the tongue. Yankees are done. You know, the Mets were not good this year. The Knicks are probably not going to be good. Neither are the Nets. You know, I don't know what they expect from hockey. You know, the Jets, like I said, they're probably going to be a 500 team, which is an improvement, but still not good overall. There's no hope in New York sports this winter, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, I mean, the Yankees did make the playoffs. You know, like, that's
yeah,
not horrible.
But, you know, that's the new narrative from Yankee fans. Like, we should hold our heads and stuff like that. But
you're also on that George Steinbrenner World Series or bust, huh?
That you know, they Yankee fans were so used to that. You know, and now they're changing their tune. When you know, in the past, they've made fun of other fans for singing that same tune.
Fair. I would just say if you asked
them. And I'm saying you. You're a classy Yankee fan.
No, I got you.
Yeah.
But if you said to anybody which New York team will be the next one to win a championship, I think 90% of people would say the Yankees, right?
I think 99% of people would probably say the Yankees. 100 probably.
So let's play this. Let's play this game. Let's play this game. Which
but
New
they're
York
not
team
the dominant out- franchise in baseball anymore.
Fair enough. I'm fine with that. If you take the Yankees out of the equation, Scott, which New York team? Which New York team do you think will make the playoffs next?
Make the playoffs next?
Yeah, if you take the Yankees out of it.
I would probably say the Mets because, you know, they're pitching. Hmm. They always have a shot. You know, it depends on what they do in the offseason.
You think they're closer
think
to the Jets? The Jets
yeah,
who are a year
I don't
two
know
away.
Enough about hockey to make a prediction.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe
that's fair.
Maybe we should ask Chris Pavone. I don't know.
That's true. And don't sleep on my guys. NYCFC in Major League Soccer will be making the playoffs for the third straight year. They're a quality team. They're a quality team.
There you go. There you go.
In any event. There you go. But besides the fact, the thing we got to know here, Scotty, the New York Giants are home dogs. I tell you about my Thursday Night Football home team narrative, how much the Giants need it. Do you think the Giants stand up today and treat this as their Super Bowl against the hated rival in Philly and get a W? Or how you playing this one?
I think the Eagles are too desperate, and they're the better team. I think the Giants season is over tonight.
Yeah, I agree with you. Here's what I'll say, though, because I got to hold true to my narrative, Scott. I got to hold true to this. So here's what I'm going to say. To our bettors out there, what I will do right now, this point spread is 3. I have a sneaky feeling that it may move to 3.5 before kickoff. If the Giants are 3.5-point home dogs, I might take the points. I think Philly could win this game, Scott, but not cover. I think this could wind up being one of those close divisional matchups, a 23-21 kind of game, something like that, a 24-23 kind of game. And I think the 3.5 points, if it gets to a hook of 3.5, in that scenario, I might be okay getting the points and taking the Giants in a close game. I think it could be something where Philly wins, but does not cover right in the middle in a close game. What do you think, Scott? Close, or is this a blowout for Philly?
I think it's close.
Okay. So there you go. So that point spread may be involved. I'm telling everybody, hold off, though. I think it may go from 3 to 3.5. If it does, we love that hook. Scotty, we'll talk tomorrow on a Football Friday. DFS, injuries, picks, all that. Tune in tomorrow on Roto Experts in the Morning. Have a great day, Scotty.